World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, oh man, where the heck did the weekend go? It was one of those come here, go, boom, gone. A lot going on. Great to be here today. I got some good stuff to be able to share with you. I appreciate y'all being here, joining us every day. I don't take it for granted. I see it as a responsibility. I don't know everything that's going on. I don't know everything that's true. I don't know everything that's right. I don't know everything that's wrong. Just to be honest with you, theology, I can take it or leave it. And, you know, I saw again today, people are all excited what's going on in the Middle East because they say it's the end of days. Jesus is returning and it's coming soon. It's all lining up. And, you know, that may be true. And I'll ask you something. If you really believe that, if I really believe that, for instance, I just talked to Dale Socha just said before the show, they had a bunch of storms that came through down there in Louisiana, down where Dale lives, down on the bayou. And some big storms came in. It took off some roofs, different. He sent me some pictures. I'm not going to throw them up there. And I just wonder if, did they have any tornado warnings down there? See, here in Ohio, I don't know where it is where you guys live, but here in Ohio, when there's a tornado coming, let me ask, where you guys, where you live, if there's a weather warning, a tornado warning, what do they do? Somebody, what do they do?
Blow a siren.
They blow a siren. And Betty, what does that siren mean when they blow that siren? If you're just sitting down and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all you hear big tornado siren go off, what do?
Find shelter.
Find shelter and prepare, and right? It's a warning. And you probably, I don't know about you guys, I'd probably call my daughter, make sure she's okay and the kids are in the basement. And I'd probably call my other daughter, same thing. You go, hey, guys, get cover, take cover. You'd all do that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you all do that? Well, I'm reading all this stuff today about what's going on in the Middle East, and it's the end of times. Boy, it's sure lining up, and here it is. And I wonder how many people are warning anybody. I wonder how many of you went to church yesterday and the pastor said, listen, here's the sermon today. Get out and warn people. Compel men to come to Christ. Get out and warn. Or do we go tell people that the end days are coming while we're going to sit down like we're on a roller coaster and ride it out? And at the end, we launch off into. So I'm telling you, folks, our behavior doesn't match our belief. And the reason I think, I'm going to get somewhere, I make some of you mad. I don't care. Our behavior doesn't match our belief. We believe it's at the end of days, and we believe that unless you have received Christ as your Savior, you are going to hell. You're not going to go there. We believe that, and we don't tell anybody. Bible says even more as we see that day approaching. Even more as we see that day approaching. And I get email after email online, oh, the end is near, and it's lining up, and this is what the Bible said it's going to do, and then people don't tell anybody. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know I got one friend out there, right? They don't even know. Did you ever have somebody say to you, how come you didn't tell me regarding whatever it would be? Maybe the price of silver. Maybe food poisoning. Maybe I pick whatever it is. Wouldn't you tell your friends? Wouldn't you tell your neighbors? Huh? Hey, don't catch any fish out of that creek. It's poison. Wouldn't you do that? I don't want to belabor it. Why don't we? Why does our action not match our belief? Now, hang on. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about collectively. Collectively. Why doesn't it? Now, I'm not going to dive into that, but I've... crummy. Hey, how about this one? Our... My, my firstborn, our firstborn Zach, 44 years old today. Now, I want to ask you a question. How could I have a 44-year-old child? And I don't care who you are. It's always your child, isn't it? It's always your child. And to think that Zach is a 44-year-old man-child attorney, to me, he's that little 12-year-old kid I had in Little League Baseball. Anybody thumbs up on that? Anybody get that? They never stop being our children. Never stop being. Never do. And I don't want to embarrass him, but I just feel like I want to say something about this today. Our son Zach, I don't want to do anything that would violate any confidences here. He went through a horrible experience. Brought along himself 20 some years ago when he looked at some internet porn of underage children, whatever that means. And of course, they ended up telling him he would. They charged him and hit the headlines all every place. You know, of course, it's my kid, so it hits the headlines. And what a dark time that was for us. Anyway, Zach wanted to be a coach. He wanted to be a teacher and a coach like his dad. Loved sports, played college football, and of course, get that pornography charge hung around your neck. You never get off from under it. You never do. And I haven't told this to many people. I'm just saying this on honor of our son on his 44th birthday. When it hit the news, headlines that about his pornography charge, he never touched anybody, never molested anybody. I wonder how many of you out there watching porn. Anyway, came to me one day because he got an education degree. He's going to go be a teacher. Had a job as a teacher. Hadn't begun it yet, but had a job. They arrested him, took him to jail. And when that dream was taken from him, he didn't suck on his thumb. He said, "Dad, I think I want to be a lawyer." I said, "Oh, yeah, all right, good luck." Good luck with that one. "You'll never get into law school." I didn't say it to him. "You'll never get into law school. I'm going to let you in law school." And he got into law school, Case Western Reserve. One of the top 10 law schools in America. Zach was a brilliant student. And he got in law school, Case Western Reserve. And he had other lawyers say to him, "Well, it's good you got in law school, but they'll never let you in the bar. They'll never let you in the bar." And he kept plugging away. Got his law degree, filed with the bar, admitted him to the bar. Became a lawyer. Do you know everywhere he goes today? It's been 20 some years. If you Google, that's one of the first things pops up. And what he did 20 some years ago. And I just want to say publicly that he's one of the toughest SOBs I know, man. What he has had to walk through, the whispers, all that kind of stuff. And 44 years later, he's still standing. And we're just proud of him. Proud of him today on his 44th birthday. I remember that day, man. Whew. I was teaching at Mount Vernon High School. And Michelle says, "Oop, better not go to work today." "What? Better not go to work today." Yeah. She said something to me. We went in there and that little guy popped out. Nothing changed your life like a child, is it? So anyway, I want to acknowledge Zach's birthday today. Let him know we're proud of him. Everything. They ought to do a movie about his life and what he's overcome. But hey, Paul, you understand this. A lot of you out there will understand this. At what point does your past stop following you? At what point? Right? Now, Paul Gosselin, love you to death. I'm not saying this to sound harsh, but if I Google your name, it's going to be bad stuff's going to pop up. You understand that, don't you, Paul? And there are going to be those who are going to remember Paul Gosselin only by the one event that happened. That will mar his whole life. Right? In fact, Paul, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I know we're cool with it. In fact, if I Google your name, it'll come up and I don't have it in front of me, but it'll come up and it'll talk about this main doctor who blah 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 blah. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? He defied blah 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 blah. He shot blah 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 blah. It lives forever. How do you get away from it? How do you get away from your past? And I like to tell people, I'm an unconvicted felon. Say what? Yes, sir. Is there anybody else out there other than me could raise your hand and say, oh yeah, I've committed a felony. I got away with it. Nobody ever found it. I was 20 years old. I was stupid. That's me. Huh? Any other unconvicted felons out there? I know a lot of them. And see, that's, yeah, Paul, it is that scarlet letter. It's a scarlet letter. And so when they Google lawyers, Google Zach Dobermeier, it's going to pop what he did 20 years ago as a 20-year-old kid, 20, whatever age you were, 24 years ago, following forever, forever. How long do you have to be a registered sex offender? Registered sex offender. 50 years? 60 years? At what point is your past behind you? And I want to say this just because I want to say it. Thanks, Michelle. Michelle said Heath. Yeah. Christians don't forgive. See, Christians don't see things under the blood either. Christians don't. Come on now. Christians are the worst. We've received grace and forgiveness, but boy, we're not very quick to give it to others, are we? I don't want, huh? David Arthur's walking through that one, huh? I'm David Arthur, right? David Arthur, well, you'll always be what, David? Are you a registered sex offender? Rest of your life, David, are you going to be a registered sex offender? Is that right?
If I would have, if my charge would have been in the state of Maine, it would have been 10 years on the registry. But because I moved here from out of state, it's lifetime. Lifetime. So it's any state I move to is lifetime registry. So
something you did 20 years ago, 25 years, whatever. I'm talking about my son, 25 years ago. He moves to Newtown. He has to register as a sex offender for something he did 25 years ago.
Yep. And if he moves out of state, he'll be a lifetime registrant completely.
If he moves out of state, he'll be one forever.
Yep.
Is that amazing, folks? They do that to thieves. Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down on it. Praise God for our son, Zach. What a blessing he's been. What a powerful attorney he's going to be. But when you Google his name, that's what you'll find. And you Google his name and you'll find it. Say, oh, my God, I'm not going to hire that guy. He's a sex offender. Yeah, 20-some years ago. It's crazy, isn't it? We live in a crazy. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. It's just worse where we are. Boom. Let me dig into what I want to dig into, because the big news today is redistricting. Redistricting, right? You guys all following that? We know this, the gerrymandering, the redistricting. Hey, folks. Vinny, are you in here? I already have to call Vinny because he's our resident black guy. I don't know if we have anybody in here. Hey, Vinny.
Yep.
I'm just curious, Vinny. Is there anything you can't do as a black guy that I can't do?
No.
What's that?
Nope.
Nope. Nope. So hey, Vinny, truth being, your ancestors, oh, they were cheated like crap. We all agree with that, right? Vinny, do you need special treatment today because you're black?
Nope.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You mean you can go get a job? You can go eat in any restaurant you want to eat in? You can do all that you want to, Vinny?
That's correct.
So back in 1964, was it when they passed the Civil Rights Act? Praise the Lord. They tried to correct what was wrong in the past. Hey, Vinny. How long are we going to allow them? Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you the truth, okay? How long are we going to tell blacks that they ain't smart enough? Hey, Vinny, do you see that as an insult? When they tell you present an ID to vote because a lot of people can't get an ID. Vinny, don't you find that insulting?
Of course.
They say a black guy doesn't know where to go get a driver's license ID. Isn't that insulting?
Of course it is.
But yet they continue to do it, right? And we've got this whole redistricting thing going on because why? Because they were saying back years ago, and it was true, blacks weren't allowed to vote, blacks didn't have hey, Paul, how many years ago is that? How many years ago is 1964? How many years ago is that? Somebody else can do the math. It's 12. I was 12 in 1962. 62. 62 years, and we still haven't cleaned it up. Still haven't cleaned it up. I'm making them nervous. See, the problem in black America is no daddies. Give me a thumbs up. Let's call it like it is. Whitey ain't around every corner trying to keep Blackie from... NFL's full of Blackies. How about some Whiteys in the NFL? And they say discrimination. You want to know some discrimination? Right here. How would you like to live your whole life 5'6"? And every time you run into everybody, they look at you and say, golly, I thought you'd be taller. I hear that all the time. Imagine running into some woman and say, hey, I thought you'd be thinner. I never dreamed you had that big fat ass. Can you imagine saying that to somebody? They say it to me all the time. I thought you'd be taller. Really? Well, screw you. I'm not. And you see, we allow them to identify for us who we are by our color, our faith, our height, our weight, our sex. They put us in categories, and then they pit us against each other. Hey, Vinny, you are welcome in my house anytime. I got a place for you to sleep right over there.
Amen.
And I'll bet you this. I bet you I got one at your house too, Vinny.
Amen.
Now, maybe it's a couch. But you got a place of mine. You got a place of mine. And believe it or not, David Arthur, you're welcome in my house, David. I know you
don't
crap in them. I know you did some stupid crap. I know you have, and I know you have a tendency to, we all have the burden to maybe do it again, but David, you're welcome in my house.
Amen. Been there, done that. Huh? Been a week there.
Okay, and I'm welcome at yours, am I not?
Always.
All right? So let me tell you something, folks. Not all sex offenders are bad. Huh? Does anybody out there believe in redemption? Anybody believe in redemption? I got some interesting stuff here for you, okay? This is really, really good. Let me make sure I look at the right thing. Pull up number 6. This is not about blacks today, okay? Please understand this. Look at this. Hey, folks. You looking at this? Because they want to redistrict. And somebody help me out here. What do they want to redistrict based on? Can somebody tell me what they're redistricting based on? Somebody help
race.
Me out.
Race.
No. Because if it was race, then they'd be redistricting for the Israelis. They'd be redistricting for the Chinese. They'd be redistricting for the Germans. They'd be redistricting for the. You with me, right? If they're going to make a level playing field, 6% of these and 7% of these and 12% of these, then the whole thing would be gone, right? By the way, how would you like them to redistrict by Christians only? How would you like to live in a district that was Christians only? And they drew lines to make sure the Christians didn't get discriminated against anymore, and that was a Christian district. Well, they wouldn't do that, would they? No, because race is the horse they ride to separate us, friends. And I pull this up here. Vinny, do you know this? I hate to keep saying Vinny because he's a black guy. You know, black guys are different than white people. They think different, right? They need help. Vinny doesn't even know how to work a television. He doesn't know how to dial a phone. He don't even have a freaking ID. He doesn't even know how to get. Do you understand how insulting this is? How insulting it is? And yet we think it's Christian. Vinny don't need no help. Oh, yeah, he does. He needs the same kind of help you and I need. He wants to maybe needs a few bucks, maybe needs some encouragement. Yeah. Huh? Hey, Vinny, help me out here. Vinny, do you stay home and take care of your mom? I mean, you don't stay home, but you take care of your mom, don't you, Vinny?
That's what I've done.
You take care of your mom? Hey, Vinny, do all black guys do that, Vinny? I mean, how stupid are we, right? Vinny's a human being. He's a human being. Care what color he is? Look at this. 73% of blacks are Christian. Now, hang on. There's always a caveat, isn't it? Only 15% are evangelicals. Only 15% of Christians are evangelicals. 6% are mainline Protestant. Look, hey, Vinny, look at this. 44% are historically black Protestant.
Boom.
Somebody help me out here. What's a historically white Protestant? Does anybody know? What would that be? What would be a historically Chinese Protestant? What would that be? What would be a historical female Protestant? Why is it always skin color? Why? Because it's a divide and conquer strategy. So my question is, let's do away with race-based redistricting, and let's do it Christian-based. Let's draw Christian-only districts. You guys think that'd be a good idea? Well, no, we're not going to do that. No. It's that daggone whitey. It's always that whitey guy. It's that whitey guy, okay? I'm going to stay with me. So David has to run. Let's take his mama to a point. Well, I'll be damned. Hey, David, maybe you can find some black slave that'll do it for you somewhere. Maybe you can pay him $1.20 and he'll do it. See, that's the way they want us to think, isn't it? Isn't that the way they want us to think? David Arthur couldn't just call some black guy because it's his buddy. Come on, folks. We got to shake our head. Our eyes are stuck here, okay? So there you are. 73% of blacks are Christians. How'd they vote? How'd they vote, I wonder? Pull up number 9. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, Coach, this is good. Hey, folks, because of race-based redistricting, whatever the hell they want to call it, gerrymandering. Are you looking at that? Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, New Jersey, down below, huh? Look at that. New England voters, 40% of New England voters are Republicans, 40%. But in all those blue states, they have zero representation. Paul, where do you live, Paul?
Maine.
Hey, Paul, when's the last time you had a Republican senator in Maine? Well, maybe you have Susan Collins. She's a fake one, though, isn't she, Paul?
Yeah, she's a rhino. She kills babies.
Yeah, she's not really a Republican. So, folks, look at that. New England, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, no Republican representatives in Congress. Zero. 40% of the population Republican, no Republican representation in Congress. Because why? Gerrymandering. Whatever they call that. Right? So can somebody help me out real quick here? Somebody a lot smarter than me. How are congressional districts supposed to be drawn?
Come on. Geographically.
And?
Just population.
By population. Not blacks, not whites, not women, not aliens, nothing. Just there's 687,000 people in this district. Okay, they get a representative. The gerrymandering was race-based, meaning they had to make sure that the blacks had their representation. What about the Christian representation? Did I get Christian representation? How about Melungeon representation? Did I get Melungeon? Huh? How about Cleveland Browns? What do you well say, Coach? No, it's skin color. Well, what about belief? Well, let's gerrymander according to Christian beliefs. Well, they wouldn't let us do that, would they? So they selectively picked blacks. It's not blacks. They don't want to gerrymander because blacks have voted Democrat. Go back to the chart. I'm sorry. Stay with me. Seven. No. No. Go the other. Go blacks by religion. Is that it? One below it, maybe. Go the one below it on the chart. Seven. Study finds black Americans are more religious than any other racial group. Hang on. The Journal of Blacks in Higher Education. Making some of you nervous. Pew Research Center published results of the 2023-24 religious survey. Now in its third iteration, the survey aims to provide an examination of religious beliefs among U.S. residents, including detailed information regarding black Americans. Currently, 73% of black adults in the United States are Christian. Just let that sink in. And evidently, they're so stupid they can't get an ID. Right? They don't know where to go get an ID, these poor, stupid Christian black people. With 65% identifying as Protestant. This is amazing. 85% of black Americans said they were Christian. In 2007, 85% of black Americans said they were Christian. Today, only 4% of black adults identify with non-Christian groups. Among black adults who do attend religious services during the year, 61% attend a majority black congregation. Let me ask you a question. Who's doing the segregation? The government or the people? Why do blacks go to church with other blacks? Do we make them go? Maybe we ought to gerrymander churches. What do you think of that, Paul? Let's gerrymander churches, meaning everyone has to have a percentage of blacks in it. Can we do that? Wow. Compared with white, Hispanic, and Asian adults, black Americans are significantly more likely to believe in God. What? 95%! Notably, nearly three quarters of black adults say they are absolutely certain there is a God or universal spirit compared to 50% of whiteys. Blacks are more spiritually religious than whites. Do you see that, folks? Wow. Notably, nearly three quarters of black adults say they're absolutely, Black Americans are more likely than other Americans, I guess, to pray daily, participate in monthly religious service. Most religious group in America are blacks. And they vote to kill babies. Hey, Spencer. Look, I don't care if you never come back. According to the survey, there are notable gender differences in religions among blacks. While both black men and women are about as likely to say they raised as Christians, black women are significantly more likely than black men to identify as Christians, 78%. The problem in the black community is fatherlessness. That's why you have gangs. We have gangs. No daddies. And then, hey Spencer, do real quickly. What percent of abortions in America are blacks? Am I allowed to talk about this? Or can you only talk about it if you're on the discrimination side? Based on recent data, black women in the United States account for approximately 37 to 40% of all abortions. I'm going to let that just ooze a little bit. Why isn't the government screaming against the slaughter of unborn black children? Isn't that discriminatory? 40% of all abortions are on little black babies? Hang on a minute. Which party is for killing black babies? Somebody help me out there. Which party? Oh, they're not for, no. They're not for killing black babies. They're for a woman's choice, right? They call it a woman's choice. But Paul, the woman's choice is 40% of the abortions are on black women. Paul, if 40% of black children were being murdered by McDonald's, they'd be screaming and hollering, wouldn't they? If 40% of black people were dying from eating too many trips to KFC, they'd be doing something, wouldn't they? And 40% of black, all abortions are blacks. Which rich party pushes abortion? You talk about a strong delusion. Wow. Recent trends, according to Guttmacher Institute, 29% of people who obtained abortions were black, while similar portions were white or Latin. Oh, they all. So hang on a minute. So evidently, when it comes to baby murder, we're equal. That's good news, right? We're equal. The percentage of abortions obtained by black women can be significantly higher in certain states. Oh, yeah? For example, 70% of all abortions in Mississippi and over 50% in Michigan are on black children. Can't redistrict. No, we can't redistrict, man. Uh-huh. It'll hurt those black people. Hell, let them murder them all. Huh? Let them murder them all. You guys are quiet. I don't know if it's because you're not paying attention or not. Oh, I got some good stuff to show you. Poll number two. Steve Turley. Hey, friends. See, we're allowed to... You're not allowed to say what I'm saying here today. You understand that, don't you? You're not allowed to say this. Or wait a minute. We're afraid to say it. We're afraid to say it. Dr. Steve Turley. It's real short. It's 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Democrat Party didn't just build its House coalition on policy. Obviously not. It built it on racially engineered geography. And the Supreme Court has just decimated that foundation.
Hang on. See, if you can't discriminate on race, then you can't bless based on race. Do you understand that, folks? If you can't discriminate against somebody based on their race, you can't give them money based on their race. That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, that's racist. Go ahead.
Because this is all before the 2030 census. And do you understand what the 2030 census is all about? The 2030 census is a full decennial census year. That means every single congressional district in the country gets redrawn from scratch, all 435 districts. And every state legislature that draws those maps will be doing so under a Supreme Court precedent that says you cannot use race as the predominant factor. You cannot pack black voters into a district simply because they are black. You cannot create a majority-minority district because a federal court told you you could back in 1992. You now have to draw colorblind maps. And if you don't, it'll be shot down in court, guaranteed.
Racist.
What we are looking at, gang, is the single biggest seismic shift in American electoral politics in living memory, possibly ever. The left built a House majority largely on the backs of the Voting Rights Act weaponized as a racial gerrymandering mandate. They turned Section 2 into a permanent reservation system for Democrat incumbents. And it is now all completely collapsed. It's all in the process of a total and permanent implosion. The Democrat Party is indeed on the brink. It may in fact be consigned to the ash heap of history in a matter of mere months. We're not talking merely a tough midterm. We're not talking a down cycle. We're talking about a generational exile from structural power, forced for the first time in decades to actually compete for votes they used to simply manufacture with a Sharpie and a racial headcount. Calais plus a clean 2030 census is not a political setback. It is checkmate. And the Democrats may have lost permanently. The Democrat Party.
I'm going to open it up here. I got to show you another one. Okay. Pull up for me. Here's our problem. Second thing is we need term limits. Pull up number 5. Longest serving. Okay, now, longest, these are people who've been in Congress the longest time, okay? Now, only the green ones are current. Right there, Chuck Grassley, 51 years. 51 years!
Shame on us.
51 years! Ed Markley, 49 years. Still in Congress, been there 49 years. Ron Wyden, 45 years. Chuck Schumer, 45 freaking years. Hal Rogers, I don't even know who the hell he is. 45 years. Chris Smith, 45 years. Steny Hoyer, he's only been there, well, give him 13 more days and he'll be making it 45 years, Steny will. You think they build up power bases when they get in there? Scroll on down, is there more? How many times can you be president? Twice. How long can you be in the Senate? As long as you want to. Dick Durbin, 43 years. Marcy Kaptur, here from Ohio. She's going to lose her job, by the way. 43 years. Mitch McConnell. How old's Mitch McConnell? I know how old he is. Google that real quick, Spencer. He's been in there how long? 41 years. 41 years. How old is he?
Just he's Google probably 83 because my husband's a year younger.
83. Hey, folks. No offense. You guys want some 83-year-old guy out there representing you? Nancy Pelosi. 38 years. She's been in Congress since 1940. What? What? Okay, that's her age. Anyway, she's been in there a long damn time, hadn't she? John Dingell, was it? Look, stay there, man. Some of the older ones. Go back. John Dingell was there. What? Oh, 59 years? Robert Byrd was there 57 years? John Conyers, 52 years in Congress? Football coach can't make it 5 for they fire him. Why can't we have term limits? Why can't we pass it around? Knowing Chuck Grassley, supposedly a good guy, you think Chuck Grassley doesn't control the Iowa Republican Party? Do you think anything gets done Republican-wise in Iowa without Chuck Grassley's approval? 51 years, 123 days. 51 years. You see the problem, folks? See the problem? It's not just Republicans, Democrats. It's not that. It's not there. How could you be in Congress 51 years? Come on in there, Dave Allison. I got more, but I'm gonna shut up for a minute.
Yeah, good morning. I didn't raise my hand for this, but since you were on John Dingell of Michigan, 59
years. Hang on, John. Hey, Dave, are you still up there
persecuting those black people up there, Dave? Huh? Are you still voting in Whitey up there to control them, Dave? Go ahead.
Well, you brought up, I wouldn't raise my hand for this, but since you're on Michigan and John Dingell, you know, 59 some odd years, you know, not only did he finally retire, but he only retired because guess what? I think when the governor has the ability, when some, rather than elect, they have the, they appoint someone. Guess who they appointed? His wife.
His wife.
Yeah, she can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I tell you, that's how bad she is.
Mitch McConnell can't walk. Literally, yeah. Can't walk. Go ahead.
This gal's dumber than a brick. But I'm just saying, this is how bad politics is in Michigan. But the reason why I raised my hand, Coach, and this is the stark reality, you had brought up abortion and that the black in some Michigan is 50%. But you also showed that 73% of black people are Christians. So 73% of those 50% of the black women who got abortions confessed to be Christians. And that's not a knock against them. That's reality of the society we live in.
That's right.
Same way with, even if it's 13% of white women that are having abortions are confessing to be Christians, that's how bad this escapism church has gotten, where there's no conviction of anything. You know, there's no fear of God.
That's right. You're okay.
It's a stark reality of what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, we understand why you would have to murder your baby. We know you don't have a very good job. Oh, we understand that you had sex outside and got pregnant. Oh, we understand. Go ahead and murder it. We get it. And Jesus loves you. Jesus, that, cheap grace, isn't it, Dave? Isn't that what you're talking about? Cheap grace? It's cheap grace. Let me play this because I want to get it in. You know, whether you remember this, there's not anybody that gets in a high political office that God has not permitted to be there. You do get that, don't you, folks? And sometimes it's for judgment. And I'm not going to argue about Trump. I'm not going to argue about all that stuff. If Trump's in there and he's doing bad, it's because God put him in there. Right? President Trump says you should keep the Sabbath. I'm not going to play that. Do you know that? By the way, very, very Sabbath because of our Jewish foundation, he says. That's a whole different story. Pull up, Dutch Sheets number 4. And put it about the 1 minute mark and play it at 1.5 speed. And I want to know if the Christian church that you're going to sees what Dutch Sheets says. Okay? Now, folks, this is going to play about 8 minutes. We got time. Go ahead.
Turning from and rebelling against God and his son Jesus Christ decades ago, at least as early as the 1960s. In 1962, the Supreme Court struck down prayer in schools. Time magazine published an article in 1965 reporting on the God is dead theology and movement. In 1973, the infamous Supreme Court decision making the right to an abortion the law of the land was delivered. That season began not merely a decline in morality, decency, and greatness in America. It marked the beginning of a cataclysmic collapse. For the last few years, America has been inching its way to healing. Like the prodigal in Scripture, crawling through the mud and slop of pigs, back to his senses, America is returning to our Heavenly Father, to our roots. A rededication of our nation to God by our president and other leaders is astronomical toward this process. Christian leaders have done this. I have participated in it. But it will take on added significance when our government does so. The heavens will shake in the spiritual realm. What does this dedication mean? The concept of dedicating people, places, buildings, and other resources to God is very biblical and highly significant. There are 4 words in Scripture that translated dedicate or dedication. Examining them alongside references in which they're used will provide insight into the principle. Number 1, Tanakh is one of those words. It's used to describe Solomon and all of Israel dedicating the temple in 1 Kings 8:63. Interestingly, it's also translated, train up a child in the way he should go in Proverbs 22:6. It's easy to see that the word conveys more than a simple token prayer or statement of dedication. It implies a serious, ongoing commitment to a process, person, or cause. And by the way, it caused the glory of the Lord to fill that temple. Number 2, another word translated dedicate in Scripture is kadash, and its derivative, Kodesh. These two highly significant words mean to be holy or to be set apart to God. People were, of course, kadashed or separated to him, but items such as utensils in the temple and even days on the calendar were as well. Items in the temple were never to be used for anything else after being dedicated to the Lord. Days on the calendar that were kadashed to God were treated as holy days, Kodesh days. Joshua told the entire nation of Israel to kadash themselves to the Lord in Joshua 3:5 in preparation for crossing into the promised land. Joel was told to sanctify or consecrate, kadash, the nation of Israel in Joel 2:15 and 16 in order to allow God's restoration to occur. It is clear that the concept presented by these words is incredibly powerful. It tells us how seriously Yahweh takes our dedication to him, declaring us holy and as belonging to him when we do so. Three, a third word translated as dedicate is kerem or karam. This word carries such a strong meaning of being dedicated or devoted to someone that it became the word for a king's harem. The word implies being set apart to a person or purpose in a very strict way. The spoils of Jericho, for example, were set apart, kerem, for God's use only, Joshua 6:18. When Achan stole some of those spoils, it brought a curse on the entire nation until his sin was dealt with. God takes it seriously. America was dedicated to God from her beginning, set apart for his purposes. We abandoned the Lord and his purposes for us, rebelling from his ways and our dedication to him. The cost has been immeasurable. The curse is being broken, just as it was over Israel. And number four, the New Testament Greek word for dedicate is enkainizo. Enkainizo means to inaugurate, dedicate, and or consecrate something new. It can also mean to rededicate it. The word is used in Hebrews 9:18 to describe the inaugurating, dedicating, and consecrating of the old covenant through the blood of animals. In the next chapter, Hebrews 10:20, it describes the inauguration, dedication of the new and better covenant through the blood of Jesus. This word is also used in the phrase feast of dedication in John 10:22. Today, this festival is called Hanukkah, or the Festival of Lights. The history of the Feast of Dedication goes back to the intertestamental period and the Maccabean Revolt. After a Syrian king profaned the Jewish temple and forced the Jews to abandon their sacrifices and adopt pagan rituals, a group of Jewish freedom fighters rose up, defied the oppressive pagan regime, and overthrew the Syrians. The temple in Jerusalem was rededicated to God. That's why it's called the Feast of Dedication. Ever since then, the Feast of Dedication has been celebrated to commemorate this meaningful event in Jewish history. America should take the rededication of our nation to God as seriously as the Jews did the rededication of the temple by the Maccabees. I can assure you, God will take it seriously. We should celebrate the overthrow of defilement, just as the Maccabees did. Celebrate the overthrow of defilement and the return of our nation to alignment with the Lord. This won't mean the work of restoration is finished, but it will certainly mean it can be finished.
It's begun.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for raising up this nation.
Amen. Amen. You get it, folks? You get it? And that's why it's so important what's going to go on in Washington, D.C. next weekend. And, you know, Craig's been hammering, I don't mean that in a bad way, on and on and on, the significance of the President of the United States, the American government, rededicating our nation back to God. It's huge. 400 years, Craig says, 1626 to now is 400 years. Come on in, Craig. Tell us why it's significant. Hey, folks, all the staking, all the prayer walking, we ought to redouble our efforts. Now is the time. Whether you love Trump or hate Trump or whatever, dudes, he's opened the door and welcomed us back in. You get it? You get it? And if they're going to do what they call redistricting, then let's redistrict according to faith. If they want to do that, let's have Christians demand their place at the table as well and represented in government. Don't just call them Republicans. No. Call them Christians. Let's have the Christians be appointed. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, you know, when we were at the Georgia Guidestones, Randy
brought his stones, but I was grabbing them and throwing them at people saying, hey, you know, this is the 400th year, November 11th, 1620, and we're at November 11th at 2020 at the false altar of the New World Order. Okay. And that's like beyond a God wink. That's like, you know, drop dead and say, wow, you know, understand, you know, the sons of Issachar understood the times that they're in. And, you know, people don't understand the times that they're in. Hey, they didn't know Jesus was coming the first time, you know? So, you know, they're like, wow, there's a lot of things going on here, but nah, can't be, you know, keep on, you know, turn the page. So why is 400 years, you know, now, Craig, it's 6 years later. Okay. Because the Pilgrims, right, landed at Plymouth Rock. And then they, you know, they got the Indians and stuff. But guess what they did in 1626? They moved up to Salem, Massachusetts. And they began to consecrate that as a city. Okay? Jerusalem, okay? Why did the Satanic Temple that's home base is in Salem, Massachusetts, come to Baltimore on May 1st? Okay? Why was Salem, Oregon, in 2017, the first city of the first of the three eclipses? These were warning signs. God is shaking this nation, and he's saying, look, you got it, it's time for an evaluation. When we go and we look and we go, and when Abraham got the covenant in Genesis 15, okay, it says, for 400 years, you're going to come back to this land because the iniquity of the Amorites has not reached the throne of heaven that God's going to create in action. So God has this little experience of allowing things to play out. Not that he doesn't get involved in it in different times. Okay. But at the end of the day, you know, at the end, when you're a senior, are you going to graduate or are you going to get another year? That's what it comes down to. And this is where we're at, coach. This is literally where we are at. And the thing that I feel in my spirit, me, is, okay, we are going to get disciplined. Now, how much we get disciplined and what role we play is exactly tied into what this nation does next week, going forward.
Okay, hey, Craig, we see the God haters. I call the Democrats the God haters. They're screaming and hollering against justice, aren't they? They're screaming and hollering because they realize that if this gerrymandering thing goes through, they're going to lose all their power. Folks, do you understand? But the way they've been gerrymandered, they've made it a 50-50 country when it isn't. It isn't a politically 50-50 country. They've just made it that way and teach us that way. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, and I think honestly what God's doing is he's really given one more time for the body of Christ to be a part of the discourse that's going on in the American government. Amen. And what's going on in our local cities. Okay. And if we as collectively as a group, and I'm talking collectively, not individually, because there's a lot of people that don't do that here. If we go in our past, we are doomed in our future. That's just the way that it is.
Amen. Amen. Spencer, quickly for me, huh? Google, when did the Supreme Court declare a separation between the church and state? Never been one, folks. Had never been one in all of history. When did they do it? I don't know what it is, but I want to pull it up there. Separates church and state.
1947.
Everson versus the Board of Education, 1947. Hey, Mr. Math Man, Craig, how many years ago is that?
That's 80 years. Okay, coach, it's going to be 80 years coming up. Okay, here we're in an 80-year period, right? This is important. God works in these templates. You know, Randy and others can say, yeah, I see those things, Craig. Okay. And others are like, oh, well, these are just numbers and coincidences. No, it's God's favor. If you go back and you honestly look at Solomon, David, and Saul, there was only 80-year period where the whole nation was united, because during Saul's reign, there was a fight between David and Saul. Okay, so there was conflict going on there. But when David took the throne, up to the time of Solomon was an 80-year period, because they both reigned for 40 years, okay? And what happened after Solomon? They went into discourse, and you had two different kings, and you had, you know, Judah, king of Judah, and king of Israel.
A house divided against itself cannot stand. Do you know what the Abington versus, I'm sorry, Everson versus Board of Education case is all about, folks? Do you really know what it was about? They were paying money to bus kids to Catholic school. That was the whole debate. Could you use government dollars to bus children to a Catholic school? That started this whole lie of the separation between the church and state came out of the Everson versus the Board of Education. By the way, followed by Abington Shipp and the removal of prayer from the school, Bible reading, all of it based on 1947. And Craig tells us, how many years ago was that, Craig? Craig, how many years ago was 1947?
It's going to be 80 coming up next
year. It's going to be 80 years. Does that have a significance? Is something going on 80 years after they booted God out? Is something going on? 80 years.
God's gracious. The fact that we are even as a nation right now and judgment hasn't really swiped us off is because of people like Dutch Sheets and others and intercessors and Past Assault Ministries and thousands of people that your face, you'll never see their face, but they have been pleading for God over this nation.
Amen. 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 And again, coming back to where I started, I don't end on a bad note, folks. Most of the American church is not preaching Christ is king. We're bowing to the government. They're teaching you and me that you can have your faith, but don't you dare practice it publicly. When Jesus said, go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, you go tell them all. And the government said, no, no, no. You got to keep it inside that little church. Because if we can keep you boxed inside that little church, we're going to be able to control you. Mm. Oh, hey, here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. You stay boxed inside that little church. Hey. And you don't get involved in politics. Hey, we'll give you a tax exemption. If you sit in your church and you don't cause any problems for us, we won't tax you. And the church said, hallelujah, hallelujah, I don't get taxed anymore. Oh, you can't talk politics in the church and from the pulpit, though. No, you're not allowed to say anything about that. But hallelujah, the government said we don't have to pay taxes. You see how screwed up we are? Anybody out there see how screwed up we are? God owns the government. The government doesn't own the church. The church formed the government. The government didn't form the church. Oh, man. Makes me ache. Come on, Lauren, quickly. You have to come in quickly. You just got short time.
Yeah. The scripture verse, the government rests on his shoulders.
Yeah. And the government right? shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. The increase of what God is governing is going to continue to increase. Whatever God's in control of, it's going to continue to increase rather than us hiding it and praying that the rapture gets here so the devil doesn't eat our lunch. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, get us out of here, Lord. The devil's winning. Get us out of here, please. Go ahead, Craig. Got a minute.
Amen. Yeah, what we don't really consider is we have two purchase points of America starting. You have Jamestown, George Washington, and you have Salem and Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. That was the Christian organization to push Christ and our nation more than Jamestown. That's why these dates are more important attached to them. That's why we have Thanksgiving. It didn't come from Jamestown. It came from Plymouth Rock.
Amen, brother. Amen. Huh? Hey, folks, they have so lied to us. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Hey, Vinny, I don't know a black guy in America that I don't like. I know a lot of white ones I don't. Oh, yeah. I tell you, a lot of white folk I don't like. Vinny, I don't know of one black guy that I got animosity toward. And they spend their entire time telling America that whites hate blacks and blacks hate whites. Even though they're Christians, both of them Christians. Color your skin, baby. Huh? Look at that. Look at that, whitey. Huh? Look at that. Look at that. Lies, deception, and fear. See you tomorrow.